Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Thanks for tuning in on this Super Bowl Sunday to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, and I have to be honest, I'm a little distracted. I got the game like going, and it's glitching out, so I don't know what's happening. I was hoping for the 49ers to win, but the way it looks like right now, that's not going to happen. But I'm here with Maria Wilson Duff. How's it going?
Go Chiefs!
Yeah, it looks like the Niners botched it.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs were pretty good about that. They would be behind, you know, quite a bit, and then they'd come back and beat the snot out of the other teams, and it kind of looks like they're fixing to score again. Ta-da.
Yeah, it's over. Oh, well. Well, good job to the Chiefs. It's been like 50 years, I think, since they were in a Super Bowl. But, you know, the funny thing is I actually hate sports. I can't stand it. I'd rather go to the dentist and have a root canal than have to watch TV. But the only exception to my hate of sports is the San Francisco 49ers, because that's where I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. So that's the one exception for me to be interested in sports.
Well, I'm so glad you got out of San Francisco.
Yeah. I hate to not California too much, but I hate California. what have you been up to before we bring our guest on?
Me, I've got quite a bit of things going on in my life right now. Everything from job to my house to all kinds of stuff. Everything just seems to be changing. It seems like the past couple of years, nothing has stayed the same. So I guess, some of it's not been good, and some of it looks like it's going to be even better. So I just keep hanging on there. So it's all going to be good. Every day I wake up and I have a roof over my head, heat or cooling, and food in my belly and water. I'm great.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's really easy to forget the blessings that we have. Things could be so much worse. You know, working in a hospital, you see it all the time where people are just having normal days, and the next thing you know, you're dead or disabled. So I guess every day we have to count our blessings. I know I'm guilty of not doing that because I'm a big complainer, but it's always good to get in check every once in a while to appreciate the things that we do have. Like, I've got some corned beef in a crock pot, and that's going to be delicious.
See, there
so
you
I'm
go.
Grateful for that.
Food, pizza, beer, wine, whatever. Love it.
Ooh.
Enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well, we have a great returning guest on hold, Joe Panohu, and we'll go ahead and get him on, Hawaiian Hauntings. Let's see what's going on in the paranormal in Hawaii.
Hey, how's it? Good evening.
Hey, Joe. Welcome back once again. What has been going... Oh, well, for anybody that's listening that hasn't heard you on the show in the past, maybe give a little bio to our listeners out there.
Sure. My name is Joe. I've been in the paranormal pretty much my entire life. In Hawaii, I'd like to think it's different, but, you know, been traveling to the mainland, and there's a lot of similarities. Hawaii still has that unique flavor, though. I've been into this more of a professional business, more than just going out telling ghost stories kind of thing for over a decade now, where I've actually been investigating, reading, learning, doing things regularly with a group on Facebook, Hawaiian Hauntings, where we share stories, experiences, that kind of stuff. So that's a little bit about me. Storyteller, investigator, not your typical investigator where I look for evidence because I already believe in ghosts. I look for how they happen, when they happen, you know, that kind of stuff. Why they happen and how. Those are the important things to me. There's always a story behind the ghost story.
Well, I think that's probably the most interesting thing about hauntings is why they happen. Now, you know me, I'm Captain Skeptical on everything, but it's probably going to take nothing short of a ghost, you know, a full body apparition saying hey to me for me to be a full believer. But the backstory of these hauntings, you hear about these notoriously haunted houses that have really traumatic pasts and they end up being reportedly haunted. Do you have any cases in Hawaii where there's a really fascinating backstory that, you know, a place that's generating apparitions or evidence that's supported by a backstory, like tragedy? Well, Pearl Harbor, I would imagine, would be one where there'd be stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. We're not allowed to get onto the military base, especially after the shooting about a month ago on Pearl Harbor. Yeah, the security is really high, but, you know, just let people go ghost hunting on the military bases. Otherwise, I'd love to. There's a lot of stories over there, though, both predating Pearl Harbor and what a lot of the Navy men would tell me when they come on the tour or when I, you know, they meet up with me, voices, that kind of stuff. It's an interesting place, but in terms of the history and stuff, we have a lot and overlapping. We have the ancient stuff, pre-contact, then we have the post-contact, and you know, that'll be before Captain Cook and after Captain Cook. We have missionary stuff. We have just battles and wars, ancient sites where the Hawaiians would worship. And then we have the more modern things, like the Xerox building, where decade or two ago there was a shooting, you know. A worker went crazy and he went postal. Sorry, we saw fireworks over here in Hawaii, too, for some reason. But we just have lots of hauntings. I kind of I like to just go to the place and talk to the spirits and see what they have to say and see what the ancestors, our kupuna, have to teach us, kind of a thing. There's been many interesting cases. I do a lot of personal, like people reach out to me for help and that kind of thing. And my only price that I charge is that I ask them if it's relevant, if I could share the story so that other people can learn from their experience and hopefully not go through the same thing as they had to, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I remember when we talked in the past, and one of the things that always intrigued me was people that try and antagonize the spirits, the ancient spirits over there. And then something bad happens. I've always found that absolutely fascinating, where people are provoking these entities and then they get a wake-up call. Can you, it's been a while since we talked about it, but can you share a story, something along those lines?
Gosh. I stopped doing the ghost tours for a company in 2012, but I mean, there's been a lot. I can't even remember off the top of my head, but there's been a lot of stuff that's been, I have seen people who don't believe and that kind of stuff, they would provoke. And so I'd actually start to gear my stories around that when we have skeptics. And people get a lot more respectful, you know, after you share with them the things that have happened on the tour. I'm trying to remember one. Here's one on the top of my head that's more recent. It's not really provoking, and I can't recall any particular people coming to me, but I have my own experiences to share. This was over the course of a year and a half. We like to go to this hiking trail in the middle of the forest, and a little history behind that is it was a battleground in the 1790s, and bloodshed was just everywhere. That was the last line of defense for the Army of Oahu to retreat down. And so they held that trail, the warriors of Oahu held that trail, and they paid for the prices of their loved ones with their blood and their life. against the invading army of Hawaii, King Kamehameha. That area was just stained and tainted in blood and all of that stuff. And it's the place where you go ghost hunting. It's the place where all the urban legends are born, or the urban legends that are born in other places. That spot is where it happened. That tree is where the man was hanging from, that kind of stuff. It's called Morgan's Corner, you know. We go there a lot because it's accessible, because it's there's always something. I noticed about a year and a half ago, we went there with a hiking group because they wanted to hear ghost stories. And when we got there, there was litter. It's a well-used trail, but, I mean, there was a big pile of just opala, rubbish. And we started hearing, for the first time, now I've been there, easily over 1,000 times in the last decade, easily. We heard noises that we've never heard before. It sounded to me like a monkey. It was like, whoo, 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 in the bushes. We don't got monkeys here in Hawaii, you know? And so I'm like, that's weird. And we walked down like maybe 30, 40 yards, and the noise was still in the bushes following us. And we're like, what the heck? We thought nothing of it, came back there, and we kept going back there. And for the last year and a half, we kept hearing it, you know, and it's like I would go into the bushes and I would try to follow the sound and find this monkey or whatever was causing it. But every time I'd find it, you know, it would go further and further away, and it would just travel further and further away from me. And it would come from the tree branches. And even on the most still of nights, where you can hear every leaf rustle, you couldn't hear anything moving, but the sound would just get further and further and further away into the pitch black. So we went there, me and my friend Guy, me and him do a lot of paranormal work, you know. We went there together to use the spirit box. Now in my group, I do a Facebook Live every week if I can. And so we stream this one. He used his spirit box, which was, I forget the model, but it's two different spirit boxes, and it's a radio station that scan forward, and the other one could scan backwards. It's two separate things, and you could change the speeds. And basically, you're just listening to phonetic sounds that the radio is bringing up, right? And so it's not really words. It doesn't have the sounds long enough for words. It's just scanning over the radio station really fast, all of them, all of the frequencies. And you kind of mismatch, and you put it together. That's kind of how the spirit box works. I have another one. It's an app that takes phonetics and noises and stuff. It's called Spiritus. And you can put it on airplane mode and everything. And it doesn't have a stored words as much as it has stored phonetics with different voices and different effects. And it can be kind of creepy. That's what I use. But we went over there and we started talking. And I like to ask this is how I use a spirit box. Because, you know, there's the power of suggestion. You could hear anything. So I really try to avoid yes or no questions, just because you hear anything with an O and it's going to be no, you know.
Right.
So I like to ask first for it to identify who I am, to make sure that we're speaking to an intelligent spirit. And it says Joseph. So I'm like, okay. It identified Guy as well. So I'm like, okay, we're talking to somebody who can give us intelligent answers. And we started speaking about why the area has been a little more hostile. And while we were there, it was windy. I mean, imagine this, right? You're on the side of a pitch black road, no lights. You have this forest all around you. There's no lights. There's no moonlight. There's nothing. And on this night, the wind was just outrageous. I mean, whipping through the trees, you know. Wind just picking up and going down. The clouds are just blowing over our head really fast. So it's just like the moonlight would come, then it would disappear. Then it would come, then it would disappear. And it was kind of, we're all tense. So we asked, what's with the hostility over here? That kind of stuff. Why? And it said, trash. You know, it told us that it was trash. We asked, okay, what is that noise in the bush? You know, the one that sounds like a monkey that we've been hearing for over a year now. What is that noise? And it said, oh, pueo. It said pueo like three times. Pueo is Hawaiian for owl. And the owls are a guardian in Hawaii, right? They're the aumakua, the guardian spirits that come back to protect you. If you're going down the road and then big owl flies across your path, you better turn around and go back, because it's an ancestor or a guardian warning you to not continue. So we heard pueo two or three times. And I'm looking at Guy like, wait a minute, that little whoo, whoo, whoo is actually an owl. And it started to make sense. And we were being protected and we were being guarded. Then I turned on my spirit box, completely different use, and it came across with Pueo as well. So there was something to that. The owl was protecting us, but what was it protecting us from? And I had my friend later on the phone, and she's a sensitive medium, and she says, there's a djinn. There's a spirit.
No.
Angry spirit. Well, I mean, it's a djinn, and you think the biblical Middle Eastern kind of genie and stuff, but I've had people come down here from the Middle East on my tour and say that the Hawaiian gods, these spirits are not really Hawaiian gods, they're just djinn. You know, so I had made that little connection as well. This one was maddened to the point of just, it wanted to lash out at everybody. And as she tells us that, things start, like branches start falling around us. We're protected, probably within a 10-foot radius. There's a little bubble, 10 feet outside of us. These branches start not simply falling onto the road, but exploding onto the road. Like the branch would hit the ground with such force that it would explode, you know. Many of these we would hear, they made us jump and we'd look and there's nothing there. You know, this thing was around us just frustrated and angry. So my son and I went back there about a week or two ago and we cleaned up all the garbage. It was nasty. Oh, God, it was nasty. We went back, actually just last night we went back. The place was just fantastic. There was so much ghosts around us and spirits and energy, and we heard voices talking behind us, but it was, nothing was a scary vibe. It was a happy vibe, right? That kind of shows the difference between, like, when people take care of the place versus not. And it's sad, though. 1 week later, not even 1 week later, I go back to the trail, and where all the garbage was, there's a new pile starting up again.
Who is,
you know,
doing that?
Hikers are just going over. Hikers are doing that. People go there to walk their dogs, and they pick up after their dog, but they don't take the poop home with them. So they just throw it on the side over there, right by the road, thinking somebody else will clean it up. And you got McDonald's bags, shoes, clothes, all kinds. And it's like, it's not even a week yet.
Man, somebody needs to have their ass beat.
Yeah. A lot of somebody's.
Yeah.
Is a djinn like an angry human spirit, or is it something more than that, something more powerful?
No. It's something that's not human. The people, according to the biblical stuff, we were created out of the mud, out of the earth. And then God breathed life into us and we became human. The djinn were created from the fire. So they're more like evil spirits, that kind of stuff. But they're not all evil. A guy shared with me a story that there was a djinn in his house. He was from the Middle East, and the grandma would speak to it. And it was fine. The djinn had a family, had kids. The djinn had a job, and it worked, and it did its own thing, but it lived in the attic. And his brother didn't like the djinn, was afraid of the djinn, so tried to cast the djinn out and tried to do all of this things like sage or whatever else he used or to get rid of the djinn, and the djinn told the grandma, the next time he tries it, we're going to kill him. You know, it's like, don't threaten my family, and I won't threaten yours.
Well, that's scary.
There you go, Jason. That's something else to give you nightmares, and it's not me this time.
I don't need djinns. No, I don't want nothing to do with djinns. Is the djinn the same as, like, a demon, or is it two separate things, or two different cultures, or...
Demon, from my readings a while ago, is just a spirit. But a spirit, a ghost, in my definition, and probably not everybody's, but my definition is a ghost is a person that died. Spirit is something that was never a person. Like in Hawaii, we have the Hawaiian gods and the goddesses. And, you know, living here long enough, we kind of realize that they're real. Natampele, the goddess of the volcano, is an actual real walking entity that you'll give a ride and she'll vanish. You know, so many first-hand accounts of Natampele, Kamapua'a, the half-man, half-pig, Kaupe, the half-man, half-dog. These were never people in the sense of people. Natampele was a goddess. These other ones were demigods. So what would you call a spirit that was never a human, that was born into a human and died a human? That's my idea of kind of what a djinn is.
somebody's knocking my door. Like
yeah. They can have free will too, like us, yeah. And so there's good and there's bad. And the bad ones are the demons. And the good ones are the angels, or however else you want to interpret that, you know.
Well, you do always hear about the people sending back the rocks from Hawaii, because they take the rocks as souvenirs, and then all these bad stuff starts happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, leave the lava rocks alone. Do not take them anywhere. That's like certain caves that we have up in the area that I'm at, but they tell you specifically, do not take one of these rocks home with you, and then they end up, they do it anyway, and then they end up mailing the rocks back to the place, apologizing.
Mm.
What's the deal? Are the rocks, like, I guess I don't really get that. Like, okay, I get the spirit being protective of the area, but it just seems like a waste of energy.
The rocks are not just rocks. The rocks are our ancestors. Where do you bury people when they die? You bury them into the ground. Now, the Hawaiian culture, I heard this from my daughter. She goes into Hawaiian immersion, and her kumu made sure that the parents took this, listen to her father, who has a going for his doctorate speech. He did a lot of Hawaiian stuff. He explained to us that a lot of the legends is Hawaii, the creation of the islands is Papa and Wakea. These are the two, God and the goddess that gave birth to the Hawaiian islands. And yeah, we knew that growing up, but I never even thought of the significance of it. The significance of that is we descend from them. In other words, the land that you walk on is not your property. The land that you walk on is your elder. It's your grandparent. It's your great-great-grandparent. It's an ancestor. So you take care of the land the same way you would take care of a loved elder. And the rocks are no different. When you bury your family or bury your body, you put them back into the land, and their mana, their power, becomes part of the land. So the land is all of your ancestors who had passed away, and you treat it as such. You treat the land with the utmost respect. You don't go over there by taking a rock. You're kind of just saying, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take uncle over here because I think he looks good, you know. But you don't even call it uncle. You're just like, oh, well, this belongs to me now. And then uncle's kind of like, hey, what's going on? You know, how come this person thinks I belong to them? You know, and then all the bad stuff starts happening.
One of my pastimes, favorite pastimes, is collecting rocks and, you know, arrowheads, if you find them on the ground. It never once occurred to me that that could be a problem. And, yeah, it's probably different than Hawaii. Hawaii's history is probably a lot richer than out here in Oregon, but that never occurred to me. Maybe some of the bad stuff that's happened in my life is because I've collected a bunch of stuff.
Well, it's also your mentality, perhaps, too. Yeah. If you're taking something to own it, that's a lot different. Like, I'll take rocks sometimes, you know, the pohaku. If I get a special feeling about a rock, I can't really explain it in terms of, but people will say it, like, if you're going to buy a crystal, you don't buy the crystal, you don't pick the crystal picks you. You know, you get that feeling, that little tug in your na'au, your center, that this is the crystal. You get that with a rock. If you take a rock to possess it, that's not pono, that's not right. If you, I have a rock that's actually a companion of mine. It's in the shape of a medicine pounder. And I was given this rock by somebody when I helped to bless their house, because a lot of the rocks are causing them bad luck. And I took a bunch of the rocks. So I took it back to an ancient heiau, an ancient Hawaiian temple. That's a big pile of rocks. So it could be back where it's supposed to be. But this one rock, I kind of took a little liking to, and it felt to me like it wanted to stay with me. And so I went with it, and I talked to it, and it said, hey, would you like to stay with me? You know, I'd be honored to have your companionship. And that's why I bring the rock with me everywhere that I go. And it turns out to be a very powerful protector. Like, when things happen, I take the rock out and I give it to the people who are experiencing the bad things, and it just kind of, everything stops happening. The rock takes over and protects the people. You see them just clinging onto it, and they don't even know why. They're just like squeezing the heck out of this rock like it's their lifeline. You know, so it depends how you treat the rock. If you take it and put it in the back of your closet in the box and say, yeah, I got a rock from Hawaii, then yeah, it's not going to be happy. You put it in a place of respect where it can see everything, where you honor it. Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be happy. And you might actually get good luck instead of bad luck. But you got a chance.
I can kind of relate to that, actually, because I used to have a somewhat extensive crystal collection, and I felt that this one double terminated really nice quartz crystal needed to go to this particular person, and I gave it to them. So I guess, but I never really analyzed why I felt that that rock should go to that person. But now you're offering some perspective on that. I never looked at it that deep before.
Yeah, no, that's the difference between your brain working and your intuition working. You know, that happens a lot. You have this crystal, the crystal's nice, you like it, but then you get this strong feeling that it's like an intuition thing where this crystal got to go with this person. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Maria? Do you have any rocks or anything?
Oh my gosh, I have a ton of rocks here. I have. There are crystals that I bought. There was a gentleman that had a warehouse full of crystals, and it went out of business. But there were as many, I would have bought the whole warehouse, but there were just certain ones that I wanted, and I have them everywhere. And my intention was, I was like, oh, great, you know, I can get these, and then I'll sell them. And I've only donated them to places for them to have. But I still have a ton here because I've kind of run out of people that I feel need them. And I'm sure I'll run into somebody sometime or another. But I have a huge piece of smoky quartz. And it's probably about a foot and a half long, a foot wide. It's kind of a rectangle. And I just sit and stare at it all the time. And I think it's gorgeous. And I'm just so happy to have it, but I keep thinking somebody somewhere needs this, and I just haven't met them yet.
I'll give you my address.
If you want to pay for the shipping that it's going to take to send that big hunk of rock.
That's probably expensive. Crystals ain't cheap.
No, and I've got rose quartz. I've got the clear and the white quartz. I've got a lot of beautiful geodes that have been, these are ones that have been opened, and they're all gorgeous. And I just, all I do is sit and look at them and think, oh my gosh, these are so pretty. Somebody needs these. Just haven't met the right person to give them to yet.
Yeah, I guess the rocks, in some cases, pick the people. It's interesting. And I'm looking back into my memory about all the rocks I've given people, and I'm like, oh, wait, yeah. Okay, that's starting to make sense now. I literally gave one person my entire collection for no reason. Huh.
It's just stuff that we do, and of course, there's a lot of times around here, and of course, Hawaii is no different than North America, and we had our Native Americans that were here, and they all have sacred areas and sacred burial grounds and places like that. Those are the places that you really need to show respect to. And known places, that's okay. I mean, because you go in knowing that this used to be a burial site and it is sacred. But if you're out, like, on my land, and I can walk through certain areas, and I just get the vibe that I just don't need to walk over there. Just pay respects and stay away until I'm invited.
Yes, that's a very good feeling to acknowledge and to follow.
Yes. And it's, you know, so we've got our native traditions here that we don't know as well as we should have been raised in school and taught those same as you all are in Hawaii. So, and I really enjoy hearing the history and the things, the traditions that you all keep.
Mm. We were lucky. If we were conquered a century earlier, or if we were discovered a century earlier, all of our culture was probably would have been thrown out. As it is, we lost, like, I'd say close to 80% of it as is right now, you know?
Right. Right.
But yeah, this is what we have left, and it's good.
Yeah. Mm. And our Native Americans, most of them are on reservations.
Mm.
Did Hawaii get a lot of the Christian missionaries? I know some missionaries that do work for many years in New Guinea, and I always thought that that's kind of something that steals culture away from various cultures, is converting people to Christianity. Was that a big thing in Hawaii where people came in and could
oh, yeah.
be a cause for loss of culture, the ancient ways?
I'd say yes and no. The missionaries, the first missionary arrived in 1820, but the old religion was overthrown by the Hawaiian people in 1819. So, you know, it wasn't like the missionaries forced the old religion out. The people forced their own religion out because their gods and praying to their gods. And, you know, even at some point, even doing human sacrifice. I think one of the records I came across was that one of Kamehameha's favorite wives got sick with some kind of, you know, disease that was brought over by the sailors and the ships and stuff. And he sacrificed 30 different, like, criminals and men over on Diamond Head in hopes that his god would cure his wife. And it didn't. So the Hawaiian gods were powerless in the face of these new diseases. And the idea of gods and goddesses were not our idea now. You would worship your god so long as you were, as it was a reciprocating relationship. If your god stopped giving, you'd find another one.
How far back does Hawaiian history go? Like, when are the first people reported to be there? Where did they come from?
It says, a lot of the old stories say Kahiki. Kahiki could mean Tahiti, but Kahiki is also just generalized as the motherland. Kind of thing. There's a lot of different theories and stuff, and there was another atoll or island that they could stop off at, and the Hawaiians were actually connected way better to all of Polynesia, and they voyaged, but that one island sank below the ocean and nobody could find Hawaii again. But some people think the Tahitian, some people think New Zealand came over and did that. In fact, I don't have a date. I know there's a date out there, but it's kind of hard to say. 1300, 1200, 1100 AD. I know we have an ancient temple over here built over 1,000 years ago on my side of the island. According to the archaeology surveys and all of that kind of stuff, the rocks over there were moved over 1,000 years ago. So it's a really old culture, and they come from all over. You could tell by the language and even by some of the legends and stories. We have the story of Maui, but so does a lot of Polynesia, you know. We have Ku, where other places have Tu, Kanaloa, Tanaroa, you know, that kind of stuff, and like Samoa, Fiji, all of that. So it's an interesting thing to study, but yeah, I think the Hawaiians have been there for a while, but the Hawaiians were just probably Tahitians that were in turn probably Samoans that were in turn probably from Micronesia or Asia, or you know what I mean, how they all migrated out.
Hmm. I find history fascinating. You know, it's interesting how things happen in the past. When, I know this isn't really paranormal, but I'm curious, when did the United States become involved in Hawaii?
The United States became involved, and this is the more negative impact, I'd say, of the missionaries. The missionaries were good. They made sure that they built all of their churches over ancient sacred sites, kind of as a way of out with the old and with the new. But the missionaries themselves were very humble, very good, very, you know, to an extent, right? They lived and they died with the Hawaiian people. But their children and their children's children became the rich, power-hungry, sugar cane owners, all of that, the plantation owners, all of that stuff. And a lot of them came from, they were educated in America. They came down over here. And was it 1893? They overthrew Hawaii because American interests. Basically, the McKinley Tariff, where if you weren't a state, that you had to pay money to ship your goods to the U.S. And the sugarcane owners were like, no, we don't want to do that. And the Hawaiian monarchy at the time was like, yeah, we're going to give power back to the Hawaiian king and queen. And then the rich owners were like, no, you're not. And at that point, it's a whole long story. I mean, you would love to. There's so much more to it. They imprisoned the queen at gunpoint kind of thing, like the Marines invaded and arrested the queen in her own palace kind of thing. Congress was stuck, but the president came and said, restore the monarchy. We don't take over kingdoms anymore. They're a sovereign nation, but nobody listened to the president. You know, and so it just kind of just got thrown to the back burner until it was like, oh, yeah, well, let's just become a state now.
Yeah, and didn't the main house over there have electricity before the White House? I think I recall you telling me that one time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Iolani Palace. They had they had electric lights, they had telephone, they had all kinds of stuff before most of the rest of the world did. King Kalakaua was a visionary. He was a very intelligent guy. He traveled, he's the first king in the history of the world to not only travel around the world, but to meet the monarchs. He's the only person that was not Japanese to meet the emperor of Japan in its entire history. You know, he went up over there and he met him. He wanted to organize the marriage and the treaty and, you know, that kind of stuff. You can read all about King Kalakaua. I find him fascinating. He was a Freemason as well. He was just so much.
Freemason.
He's the reason why we have a lot of the Hawaiian culture back.
Huh. Awesome. Well, I see somebody called in. I don't know if they're just listening or have a question. Are you open to take any questions?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Bring them on. Hey, caller. You're
Hello?
Live on Hey, do you have a question for Joe?
Hi, I was wondering, I know there was one officer that died, it was a sheriff, and then I was looking on an oracle about this person. I look up oracles about myself and other people, psychic oracles, and I asked if this state trooper that helped me out was going to be okay. She helped me when I fell. She didn't look like the typical state trooper, and I asked if she was okay, and it said no. And I'm kind of afraid that something bad happened to her. Do you know if you can decode that?
When did this happen?
When did I type this in?
When did you have this experience with this officer?
Oh, this was like, I forgot it was. See, I'm in Virginia, and they came up from all around the state for, this was August something, 2000, and I'm trying to remember, like, not 17, like maybe, wait a minute, 2017 going on 2018.
Well, if you may want to take a look. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a really bad shooting, and two officers died. One of them was a young female.
Was it SWAT?
No, it wasn't SWAT. I don't think it was SWAT. I'm not too sure of the details, but like, there's a whole fire, and it was a big thing down over here. It was a real bad tragedy. You might want to take a look at that. I'm not too sure about, I don't have the gift to read into stuff and that kind of thing. I don't know if I'd be able to help you there, but yeah, that would probably be a lead you could take a look at.
Yeah, because I'm in Virginia.
Yeah, it was all over the news down over here. I hope that the person that helps you is safe and sound, you know, and it's a tragedy that happened down over here. But yeah, I wish I could give you more help, dude.
What did you say? It was a fire and a shootout?
Yeah, right outside of Waikiki. Yeah. I'd really rather not give more details about it. It's still a little fresh down here, though. So, but you can look it up and find out a lot of information about it online.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling in. People are just getting crazier and crazier in terms of shootings and madness. It seems like, I don't know, maybe it's just my thought process, but it seems with everybody on antidepressants or drug abuse and everything else, that people are just getting out of control.
Everybody's medicated.
Except for me, I'm not medicated. I probably should be medicated.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I work at the mental hospital, so that's my 8 hours a day.
There you go, Jason. You can go see Joe, and he will take care of you and put you exactly where you need to be.
Can I get some counseling? I need therapy.
I don't know.
He
where
can
I work
take
to get
you
a shot in the butt.
You can go down there and you can talk to all of his ghost friends.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, but you need counseling, though. That's kind of what I do. People come to me with a ghost problem. I don't go over there, wave my tea leaves and the holy water around. It's extensive counseling. It's just talking to find out where the imbalance is and what they need to do and that kind of stuff, you know. That's
I'm all
I
for
know.
Counseling.
But if
I
need I to,
think everybody should go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I see somebody else called in. Let's see what kind of rabbit hole we can go down this time. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Thank you. This is Terrence.
Hey, Terrence, do you have a question or comment for Joe?
I actually have a paranormal story, if I could share it.
Sure, I'm down. You down, Joe? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Grant, trying to clarify and get some insight on this. It's really troubled me since it happened, so I really appreciate some expert advice on it.
Lay it down.
Okay. I grew up in the Ozark Mountains, and when I was like 12 or 13 or so, I just really wanted a couple of coon hounds to go hunting with. So I worked some odd jobs with my dad, and I earned enough money to buy two puppies. So about 20 miles away, I went and picked them up and then came back home. They're a girl and a boy. And first night of hunting season, I promised the dogs that if they treated a raccoon, that he would do the rest. Old Dan and really, they did a good job. They treat a raccoon up in the old sycamore. And I thought it was too large to chop down to get the coon, so. But next day, I just kept chopping down. Eventually, we got it. So I started to become one of the best coon hunters around, and there was a big hunt scheduled during a very cold week. And I was able to reach the final round, but it was a blizzard out, so I wasn't supposed to go with the older men who were my opponents in that contest, but I stayed out there, and we made it. And that's when things started to get weird in the middle of the snowstorm. Out of the brush came this mountain lion, and it attacked my dogs, and I fought really hard to save my dogs. So the mountain lion turned on me, and then the dogs saved me instead, but they actually both got pretty horribly injured. And first Dan died, and then the little girl, little Ann, she died next. So then I went to bury them, and where they were buried, that's where the red fern grows.
I'm not sure of the reference, but obviously it's a crank call. What is the red fern grove? Is he reciting a movie or something?
I think that's a book, but I forget it. I read it in high school.
It's a book. I don't know. I don't get
where
it.
Where the red fern grows. Remember anything about
I don't
it.
Think I've ever read it. Okay, you talk for a second. I got to Google where the red fern grows. What was the relevance of all that?
That was a good story, though.
I was following it there.
Yeah.
Normally, people are just really graphic, but that one was so subtle, I don't get it.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm doing my research here.
Do your research. I'll talk about... I don't know if I can talk about that.
I'm looking at it on Wikipedia, and he's pretty much sounds like he's reciting the book. but I don't understand why that's funny. I don't get it. I'm so confused. What's happening?
Well, I mean, I'm really glad to know that this guy has some good American literature under his belt.
Absolutely. I mean, most people call in and just say really ridiculous graphic things. That was very artistic. So even though I don't understand,
yeah,
kudos to you, caller. That had me going. Actually, I was suspecting it was a crank call when he mentioned the mountain lion, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I'm going to read that book again.
Yeah, we're all going to have to read it now. Maria, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Have you read Where the Red Fern Grows?
No, I have not. And actually, when he started in with his story, I kind of thought it was a little bit of BS. So I kind of like took my headphones off, went and got a drink of water, so I didn't hear the rest of it.
Well, you're the smart one.
Why do you start in with this coon storm? Yeah, whatever.
Hey, you know, it sounded weird to me, but, I mean, I live in Hawaii. We don't got no coon hounds or coons down here or anything. So I'm like, sycamore tree? That sounds cool. You know, I don't even know what that looks like. We have, like, palm trees here. You know, like mongoose climbing up the palm trees.
I heard the dogs in the background, so I thought maybe it's plausible. But then the dogs died.
Joe, do you ever there's people around here that can feel the energy off of the trees and try to get a story from them. Do you have anybody on your team that does that?
Oh, yes. In fact, I just went to New Orleans 2 weeks ago with a good friend of mine, Jamie. And she's just running around feeling bricks and feeling mailboxes in the French Quarter, and she's just, like, having a great old time. She was getting all these impressions and all these images and all that. It was such an interesting time, you know. Yeah, she can even do it remotely, like over video chat or something. You know, it's really interesting. She's the one that we use for she's the one that has helped me out to figure out the gym and all of that stuff. And you know, that she also does like automatic writing, and it's, yeah. Gifts are really cool.
When I was younger, I went to this really weird boarding school, and one of the classes they had, they called it mastership, where you would like meditate and like do automatic writing, really weird stuff. Do you think that automatic writing works? It's basically where you're holding a pen, and from what I remember, you're just kind of making motions on the paper, and then words show up, like some spirits controlling your hand or something. Is that somewhat accurate?
It can be. There's different types, I want to say. Like, there's actual, like, tools where you're not holding the pen, but you're holding, like, a little, like the thing with the Ouija board, the three-cornered thing, and there's a pen and the pencil in the middle, and you're just moving it around kind of thing. Planchette. Yeah. The way my friend works, though, is she kind of closes her eyes and her hand just goes. And sometimes I just see her scribbling, and she's writing down words, and I've noticed, like, when she sends them to me, it's different handwriting, you know. It's not her handwriting. Sometimes it's heavier handwriting, and you know, the letters are different than the other handwriting and all of that stuff. And it's fascinating to see that. Especially when she's never been to Hawaii, especially when she starts describing the area that I'm in, like there's a rock to your left, there's a river to your right, there's a tree that's bending down into the river, and I just look up and I'm like, oh yeah, they're all there, just exactly like she said. And she didn't see it, you know.
That's almost like when spirits talk through other people. Their voices come through.
Oh, you're talking about trance mediums.
Yeah.
I've actually been working with a few trance mediums, almost maybe. I guess I could share this one little story with you guys. About a month ago, got a call to help a girl. Her friend called me to help her. I didn't know who this girl was. So I arrive, and it's like an hour early I arrive, just make sure I get there on time, and her friend's there. No, it was like half an hour early. And the friend makes us wait for like an hour. I'm getting a little irritated. We're outside for over an hour now. We're waiting on her, and she's like, I'm in the bath. I'm like, but we were coming. But I'm used to this. It's an evil spirit kind of thing, and I'm just going to talk to her about counseling and see what's going on. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. The friend knocks on the door, starts yelling, you know, get your okole down here or else. And then she opens the door, and this little Filipino girl is, like, twitching, and she's, like, kind of making these noises. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, is this an actor, you know? And she tells me, she's like, whatever it is does not want you here. And she looked at me, and she's like, it doesn't like you. It doesn't want you here. It wants you to get away. And I'm like, great. That's exactly why I'm here. I want to talk to you. Let's sit down and talk. Her head hangs down. As soon as she sits down, another voice starts coming out of her mouth. And it starts calling me by my name. I actually have this whole thing recorded. It's about 5 or 6 different voices. Her problem was she's a trans medium, but she did not know how to use it. And so it used her. She also suffers from several different conditions like ADHD, bipolar, and it's led her to using drugs as a coping skill, which does not help at all. And I'm thinking that, you know, this girl is just attention-seeking, narcissistic, wants to believe she's special. And me and the friend are there. She's just watching, and I'm recording. I get the holy water. I start hitting her with the holy water. And so, of course, she screams, you know, this other voice. It was like, and then the voice started calling me by my name and taunting me, which is what they usually do. They usually taunt me like, hi, Joe. Why are you doing, Joe? You're going to fail, Joe. You can't help her, Joe. Like that. And it's like a man's voice kind of thing. But, and I'm like, wait. Did you tell her my name? She's like, I didn't tell her your name. She doesn't even know your name. Anyway, about 15 minutes into it or 10 minutes into it, I reach behind her. Her head is down. Her hair is covering her face, and I peek, and her eyes are closed. I reach behind her, and I grab some tap water that was on the sink behind her. And I start hitting her with the tap water while I'm praying, and instead of screaming, this time she starts laughing. And she's like, hey, your tap water is nothing. And then I hit her with the holy water, and she screams again. She doesn't know what water I'm hitting her with, but, you know, I'm trying the placebo effect. I don't think she was crazy. She had so much spirit, and she would go in this really wicked voice to this little, hi, you know, like this little girl that's trying to help her, to a lady that was also trying to help her and give me advice. And it was just a really interesting experience. I believe that if we can help this young lady out, which I'm trying to, but she needs to help herself before I can help her. You know, go to church, get counseling,
creepy.
Get off the drugs, get on the right medication, all of this stuff. Then we can start to develop her gift, and she can start to get control of her gift. But she has to stop all that first. You know, trance mediums, I've never really worked with one before. People get impressions, but never one that's actually started talking, you know, in another voice, except for this girl. You know, so it's interesting because I read Hans Holzer's book, and, you know, he uses one of those. And so I started thinking about it. And apparently the universe decided to manifest it for me. You know, there's another one as well. She's on her path into becoming that and controlling it as well. But it wasn't quite so different voices, dramatic and stuff. It was different emotions that weren't hers. And she doesn't even remember, and her whole sight left and all of that. She could feel somebody else in her kind of thing. She was fighting it while it was trying to take control over her, while it was trying to tell me something. You know,
that sounds creepy. I used to go to one channeler when I was young. This was probably 25 years ago. And he would do the thing. His head would bob down, and he would, you know, start talking in a different voice, and at the time I was totally sucked into it, but now, 'cause I'm Captain Skeptical, I was like, oh yeah, it was probably just all farce. But I noticed the clock, we're running out of time, Joe. Now, if anybody wants to contact you, is that possible? Or do they have a location they can get more information?
Facebook. I'd like to work on a website in this year, you know, for this kind of stuff. Maybe even a nonprofit, so it's a little more official, you know. And all of my expenses can be written off, but you can look up Joe Punohu on Facebook. There's two of them, but the one with me standing by the statue, the Hotuna Ghost Tour, I like that picture, or the group Hawaiian Hauntings. We have a lot of people in the group now, and they all share stories, but yeah, just contact me. I help everybody, you know. I don't charge. I also don't turn down a donation, but I don't charge. I don't ask for anything. It's the experience that I love. It's the fact that I'm growing and that my team also gets to experience it and grow as well. You know.
Very nice. Well, with that, Joe, I want to thank you once again for coming on and talking to us about all the stuff going on in Hawaii. And it's always interesting and a pleasure to get you on the show. And as usual, we'll have to get you back on in the future.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All righty. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Aloha.
Aloha. Hey, Maria, we're about wrapping it up.
Yeah,
I want to thank those interesting
callers.
Yeah,
sorry, 49ers lost.
Yeah, no, I was kind of bummed out. I was looking at my computer, looking at the TV, and I was like, oh, this isn't looking good. It looked good for a while there. But then they got their asses handed to them, like in spectacular fashion, like the old days. It looks good, and then they just choke.
they did.
But I'm not too upset. Like I mentioned earlier, Kansas City, it's about time they got a Super Bowl win, so that's good. But for that, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight and those wonderful callers for very interesting conversations that transpired there. as usual, it's always
just colorful
pleasure.
People in the world.
I'm lost for words. Once again, going down a blog talk rabbit hole. But I think we have next week, I think we have Walter Brooks. And I don't.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to brush up a little bit on his bio. He's been on in the past, but it's been a long, long time. So we will have a guest for next week. And unless you have anything else, Maria, I'm going to close it out, and I'm going to eat some of this corned beef because I'm freaking starving.
Well, all right, you just take in.
Well, hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we'll see everybody 7 p.m. next Sunday for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Hope everybody has a fantastic week, and hope nobody lost a ton of money betting on the Super Bowl. See everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.